blasphemous. Is your eye evil because I am good? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Is your eye evil because I am good? You know what they say about the eyes? She's got Betty Davis eyes. Has somebody got their eye on you? And is it because they adore you or because they don't trust you and they're watching every step you make? Did you know that people say that the eyes are in fact the door into a person's soul? There are experts who will tell you that if someone asks you a question, and as you give your response, what you do with your eyes will reveal if you are telling the truth or lying. So, what kind of eyes do you have? Has anyone ever given you the eye? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, the eyes roll, the nose kind of goes, you know. If they give you the eye, the evil eye, let's face it, they might just as well give you the finger. Because the evil eye is a condemning. It's an expression of distaste and not goodwill and intent of wellness. There's not anything particularly gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love about an evil eye. Well, our gospel reading for tonight says, do you begrudge my generosity? Literally in the Greek, is your eye evil because I'm good? Good question. Our two lessons for tonight both end with a rather disturbing question. In the book of Jonah, you heard the word. God says to Jonah at the end of four chapters, a very small Old Testament prophetic book, Jonah, are you angry? Jonah, you pity a plant that you didn't labor for, that you didn't plant or grow, that came up in a night and disappeared in a night? And you don't think that I should have pity on the city of Nineveh, that great city, where there's 120,000 people that don't know their left hand from their right hand? Sometimes our little Nora, 3.5 years old, she has trouble remembering this left and this is right. You know what God is saying to Jonah. There's a whole bunch of children in this city, 120,000 of them. And what about all the cattle? So the book of Jonah ends with this alarming question. What's Jonah going to do? Is he going to celebrate God's amazing grace and generosity for his archenemies? For the people that he hates? If there's anybody that deserves hell, it's the people of Nineveh. Is he going to rejoice in their repentance? In their conversion? In their salvation? Or would he rather be dead? Do you do well to be angry, Jonah? And Jonah says, angry enough to die. And then in our gospel reading, you've got the man who has this huge vineyard. And those grapes are huge. They're delicious. But if you don't get them harvested, they're going to go to waste. And they won't feed the hungry. They've got to be harvested. And so the master, the vineyard owner, he goes out into the marketplace trying to find people that are looking for work. 6 o'clock in the morning, that's when the day starts. He says, I'll pay you what you need. I'll pay you what's right. I'll pay you what's fair. And according to the sociologist of the first century AD, if you were living in Palestine, you know what you needed to get by? To just get by for the day? 1 denarius. And anything less than that? Your kids would go hungry. They would have stomachs growling at night. Well, he goes back out there at 9 o'clock, hires some more. Because you can't have the fruit of the vine spoil. He goes out at noon. He goes out at 3, hires some more. There's such an abundant crop that he goes out at the 11th hour, 5 p.m., an hour before quitting time. Sunrise to sunset, 6 p.m. That's the end of the workday. Hire some more. He says, why aren't you guys working? Nobody would hire us. I don't know what kind of picture you have, but I have a picture of people probably, maybe they're missing a limb, etc. So they were sized up by other people as not being particularly productive or worth hiring. He said, well, get out there in the field. The sun's still shining. We got an hour left. Get going. And they do. And he promises everyone that he'll pay what's fair. And the question at the end, after everyone has received the same compensation of denarius, you know what happens. The ones that work 12 hours in the heat of the day, they're ticked off. And they give an evil eye. You know if you've ever gotten that eye, or if you've ever given it. You know what I'm talking about. They do that to this generous master because, you see, they figured that if the Johnny-come-latelys who just snuck into the kingdom at the end of their lives, you know, if they were going to get a denarius, well, just imagine somebody like me. Huh? Baptized on the 13th day of my life. June 3rd, I was born. June 16th, I was baptized. In church every day since then. 31 years of being a pastor. That's entitlement, is it not? I mean, I got to get more. Wouldn't we all agree? Then this Johnny-come-lately, who comes in at the 11th hour? You can understand why they're upset, can't you? Do you begrudge my generosity? Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? And what belongs to God? Everything. Absolutely everything. And everything we have is just a gift. This past week, I saw something on the internet, and I told my wife, I said, I'm trying to track down the story, and she helped me track it down, because it was about a man who went through the drive-thru of Chick-fil-A in Texas. You maybe saw this. He went through there, and he ordered an 8-piece chicken nugget dinner and a Dr. Pepper. And he paid with 10 $100 bills, $1,000. And he said, pay it forward. He said, everybody else that comes through the drive-thru now, until the $1,000 is gone, put it on my tab here. And the cashier, the gal says, like, did you win the lottery or something? He said, no, I just want people to have a good day. It was this past Monday about 7 p.m. down in Texas. Chick-fil-A drive-thru. It's a true story. And they can't quite understand what this guy is doing. The next 88 customers all got their food free. One woman, when she was told that there was no charge, that somebody was generous and had given $1,000, 10 of these $100 bills, she started crying. I've just had the most awful day imaginable. And now something good like this happens. Thank God. The guy's name supposedly was John. And Chick-fil-A actually said, well, we're not going to charge you then for your 8-piece dinner and your Dr. Pepper. Isn't that the kind of world you want to live in? Or not? Because do you want grace and generosity? Do you want mercy? Or do you want justice and what's absolutely fair? Imagine if you were number 89 coming through the drive-thru. Man, you're just one person late. If you had just been a little bit, one person earlier, Margene, you know what would have happened? Your meal would have been paid for, but we've run out of money. And you can bet your boots they were still telling the story, right? Or maybe you're number 35, and all you got was just a shake. What was I thinking? I could have ordered a whole bunch of food, more expensive food, right? Once a month, I go over to La Crosse with Pastor Mark Schwartz from South Zumbro Lutheran. We go to La Crosse and we have a pastor's meeting. And afterwards, we eat at what's called the family restaurant right there in La Crosse. And they always have excellent specials and reduced prices. And I got to be honest, I kind of watch my P's and Q's when it comes to money, you know? And so I look at what the specials are and I try to get something that's cheaper on the menu so that I can have more money for the tip, you know? Well, Twice this has happened. Twice. Where the manager, the owner of this family restaurant, he's a young guy, Roman Catholic. And he came out and he just grabbed our bills. He said, "It's on me today. Have a nice day." You know what I found myself thinking? Before I'm a pastor. I've got all this entitlement, 31 years, right, of ministry. I found myself thinking, crap. I should have ordered pie and ice cream. You know what I'm saying? Is it just me? Come on, be honest. On the one hand, we say we want to live in a world of generosity, don't we? But when it actually happens, that old Adam in us keeps playing with us constantly so that we find ourselves begrudging generosity or turning our nose up or giving an evil eye at someone, yes, even God, about grace. What in the world is wrong with us that we would snub our nose at God's grace? I mean, the Jonah complex, I suppose, is what they could call it nowadays, right? I mean, if psychologists had their way, they'd say, well, you got the Jonah complex. What's that? Well, you know on the one hand that deliverance belongs to the Lord, that salvation is God's business, and God can save whomever God wants to without having to explain it or justify it to you. You know that. And why is it that you run away like Jonah? You heard what Jonah said, right? I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. Psalm 103, verse 8, the creedal affirmation of Israel. Who is God? God self-defines himself in this way. Gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That's why Jonah says, that's why I went to Tarshish and I didn't do what you told me to do and come to Nineveh. The 8th century prophet goes to the arch enemy, brutal, ruthless people. If anyone deserved hell, it was the Ninevites. And he's supposed to speak God's word, knowing that God has a soft heart. And when people repent, God loves to do nothing more than to show mercy and to give forgiveness. And Jonah knows it. Well, after that being swallowed by the big fish episode, he gets a second call, a second chance. And when he goes, he only goes one day's journey, kind of dragging his feet. And in Hebrew, there's only 5 words. 40 days, Nineveh destroyed. Yes! There is no hope in that proclamation. There's no call for repentance. But lo and behold, when God's word is proclaimed, even by a reluctant, recalcitrant prophet or preacher, God's word doesn't come back void and empty. Every single person, every single animal put on dust, sackcloth, ashes, and repented. And the king made a decree. Who knows? Maybe God will change his mind and not destroy us. And when God saw the repentance, he changed his mind. And that ticked Jonah off. And he went and sulked instead of celebrating the mercy of God. Ever happened to you? Is your eye evil because God is unbelievably generous and good? Are there certain people that you would just as soon write off? Or say, you know what, the way they've behaved and the way they've treated me or others, I hope something bad happens to them. The evil eye. When I was a kid growing up, I grew up on a farm in Wisconsin. 120 acres. My dad was a plumber, so we rented the land out, and my brother and I, we would work for neighbors. One was Jim Donahue. He and his family were active Roman Catholics, and they were just salt-of-the-earth people. And he would hire my brother and me to do some jobs, you know, like picking the rock and pulling mustard out and baling hay. Hard work. And did I say that I was 4 years older than my brother? So like when I was 16, he was only 12. Well, one summer, when we got done working the whole week, lots of work, hard, sweaty work, we kind of tallied it up and we said, that's going to come to about $75. And then Friday was payday. Payday comes, he pays my brother first because he's last, he's the littlest. He got $100. You know what I'm thinking? I'm not thinking, we were only supposed to get 75. Gary, you need to give him $25 back. I'm thinking, my brother got $100. And I'm thinking, I know that I worked way harder than my brother, and I was way more productive than my brother, and I know that Jim Donahue is going to know that, and he's going to reward me with what I deserve. But I got $100, and I politely said thank you, and I went home sulking, and I thought, I don't want to go back and work for that guy ever again. And my mother said to me, David, what's the matter? I said, well, we got paid today. She said, well, what'd you get? $100. $100? You should have only gotten what, 60, 70, 75? I said, yeah. Well, what are you so upset about? Gary got $100 too. Yeah? It's Jim Donahue's field. It's Jim's money. Aren't you just grateful that he gave you a job? And that he gave you more than what you were expecting or deserved? Yeah, but he made us equal. Doesn't that sound like Matthew 20? I mean, that's the real thing that ticks people off. That's what ticks the Jonah complex. That's what ticks Jonah off, is that God makes us all equal. Throws us all into the same basket of sin and sinners. And then my mom said a word to me that I've never forgotten. David, have you forgotten that Gary is your brother? Have you forgotten? 10 years ago when we moved out to Tacoma for a call, you have to change your license plates, you know. You have to get driver's license. I mean, that's what we had to do when we came back to Minnesota. You know, it's the way the government makes the money, you know. Well, we get out there and we're trying to find a place. And we're trying to transition and move and everything, so you get busy, and you're supposed to do this in 30 days. Well, it didn't happen, folks. I know that's what the law says, but it didn't happen. Well, pretty soon then, Julie, my wife, got enough time. We're situated in a house and stuff. She started studying and stuff. She went to take the test and didn't pass the first time. So she went back, and she went through the booklet and highlighted it and studied it, went and got it. She was the first one to do it. My daughter, Jenna, was busy working and studying at PLU. And so she had one weekend off, and she said, Mom, let me see your notes. So she took the driver's manual thing, which was all highlighted with notes, and she's really good at memorization. So she studied it just for the weekend, took the test, and we thought, yeah, look what's going to happen to her. She thinks, what? Smart, huh? She passed it, and she made sure that she let us know that she passed it on the first try. Well, finally, summer came, and it was July, and I finally had some time, so I looked at her notes. I read the whole book. I studied and studied, right? Went down there. Julie's with me. They give you a number. You wait. They call your number, and I'm cramming. I'm still looking at all this stuff because I want to pass this and get this albatross off of my back, huh? Well, they call my number. I go up there. I fill out the paperwork. He said, that's $45. You need to take your picture. I said, what about the test? He said, didn't you hear? The legislature here in the state of Washington just changed the law. You don't have to take the test. I mean, if you want to, you can. I said, wait a minute. I studied all this time, and now I don't have to take the test? And my wife goes, that's not fair! My daughter Rachel, who is also a student at PLU, I called her up and said, did you know the legislature just changed the law? If you have a valid driver's license from another state, all you have to do is come in, pay your money, get your picture taken, and you're in! So you got somebody that studied, somebody that did it in a weekend, somebody who studied and didn't have to take the test, somebody else who just walked in and paid $45. Where's the fairness in all of that? There is none. There is none, is there? Yeah. If that's what we want is fairness, then we're always going to have an evil eye and be disappointed. David, have you forgotten that Gary is your brother? That's what generosity is about, my friends. That in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are all christened into the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we are made family, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why Paul says, if one member of the body suffers, we all suffer together. And if one member of the body is honored, or has success, or gets blessed, we all rejoice together. That's because we're family. So you see, the question before us tonight is a simple one. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Is your eye evil because I am good? Take what is yours and go. I choose to give to the last as I give to the first. So the last will be first and the first will be last. And that's either going to tick you off, where you're going to sulk, and where you'd rather die than live with a God like that. Or, just maybe, the Word of God will transform and change your heart and bring repentance, where you'll remember what my mother told me. David, Gary is your brother. Have you forgotten? Amen.